Thank you for tuning in to the She Words podcast. She Words are just myself, Felicia Ramsey, sharing with you what God is speaking to me through me as a woman. She Words are motivational messages on motherhood, marriage, and mentorship. Welcome to today's She Words podcast. Welcome back to the She Words podcast. I'm so glad that you came back to listen. Many of you have downloaded past She Words podcasts. We truly appreciate you doing that. I have even went back and listened to the first one, Live List or Bucket List. I also like the one, Phenomenal Woman. We have 8 podcasts that we have recorded up until this date. So make sure after listening to today's podcast that you go back and listen to those that we have pre-recorded. And I need for you to make sure you go to the She Words Facebook page, share information, share what you've liked, share what you want to hear about. Also, you can email us at aramseyconsulting@gmail.com, ask questions, share a story, or let me know how you are feeling about the She Words podcast. Today's She Words podcast is going to focus on motherhood. As we've told you before, She Words are motivational messages on motherhood, marriage, and mentorship. Mother's Day is May the 9th. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. You may be a stepmother, a godmother. You may be, you know, a foster mother, adoptive mother. Just know that if you are in the role of raising children, you are a mother. So happy Mother's Day to you. And our topic today is going to be entitled Mommy Moments. And I'm going to share with you some of my moments in motherhood and how you can better your parenting skills by embracing who you truly are as a mother. Maya Angelou says it like this: it is time for parents to teach young people that in diversity there is beauty and there is strength. And when I look at that word diversity, some of you may just think of different ethnicities, but I look at it as when we can teach our young people how to embrace different religious beliefs, people with different economic statuses, along with people with different ethnicities, they can truly have success in life. It is important for our children to understand that people are different, people are unique, and you never want your children to look through life in an egocentric lens, thinking their way is the best way, their family is the best family. All families are different and all families look different. The modern family is very different today. As you embrace your motherhood, I want you to be excited about your future and the future of your children, because each moment in life is a powerful moment and you have reached countless milestones in your parenting. In my mommy moment, if I were to kind of give it a subtitle, I would say Seasons of Parenting. The reason I say Seasons of Parenting is because I am in 3 different seasons of parenting our 3 children. Our young adult son is 23 years of age. He is in the season of, as parents, we are doing more mentoring, more guiding, as opposed to meeting his needs. He's becoming more independent. He graduates from college the day before Mother's Day. Well, he actually finished in December, but he walks the day before Mother's Day, May 8th. He's already started graduate school. He lives on his own. He was just offered his first job. So he is in a different season. You know, he's dating. He's deciding some things he wants to do with his future. He and his father have great conversations about, you know, finances, about decision making. He comes to mom for relationship advice or just to be heard. I love our relationship at this moment, and I want to continue to be that support to him. I recently shared a post about nature versus nurture. And when I was studying about early childhood education and learning more about preschool children and raising our babies, the importance of understanding the nature of children and how my nurturing affects that nature. You will always nurture your children, but in the different seasons of parenting and in the different seasons of life, you do that differently. So we have one season in my life with the 23-year-old. I am married, so I have a partner. And I know some of you that are listening to me today, you are single parents. And I applaud you. I give you accolades because I know it is not easy. And I continuously pray for those that I know are single parents. Yet I also support them in helping them to understand it. It's not weak to support your village and to allow your village to come and be a part of that parenting journey with you. No one was meant to do this alone. I tell you that it takes other perspectives. It takes insight from others in understanding the best way to raise children today. So I have a season with a 23-year-old. Then I'm going to jump past our 19-year-old and I'm going to jump to our youngest, who is 11. And I'm in a season with her of understanding who she is as a young lady. You know, she's going through puberty at 11. Can you believe she is going through puberty at 11? That's what's happening today. And as I look at her and helping her understand who she is and that she is beautiful, helping her to understand her body, helping her to understand what she can do well, helping her to cognitively embrace the world around her, allowing her to ask questions. That is the type of young lady I want to raise. And it is important for me in raising our daughter to be an active listener, because she has a lot that she wants to say. She has a lot that she wants to get off of her chest. Now, we've had the first section talk about the birds and the bees. I guess you can still call it that nowadays. Do you know that when I was in school, we had that talk in health class in 7th and 8th grade? She's already had that talk in 5th grade at school. They shared about how the body functions, and she talked about it in the car. She told me what made her feel uncomfortable, and I just sat there in awe thinking, the world is truly changing, that they are having these conversations early. But I was happy that she was able to come to me and share how she felt about it. And I always want her to have that freedom where she can come to her father or I and talk about how she feels, being able to embrace her emotions. I want her to be emotionally intelligent, emotionally stable, have a strong emotional IQ. As mothers, sometimes we spend so much time worrying about their intellectual IQ, we forget about the importance of an emotional IQ and emotional intelligence and knowing how to express themselves and knowing how to respond and not react, knowing how to be calm and listen attentively, take time before they respond, and how to control anger. There are so many things that we need to learn in regards to our emotions that if you think about it and I think about it, we weren't taught those things. It's never too late to learn. And it is definitely not too late to teach our children. So remember, I told you my first mommy moment is dealing with a young adult, 23-year-old. And then the second mommy moment is embracing 11-year-old going through puberty. If you have a mommy moment that you're dealing with right now or you have a question, make sure you go to our Facebook page or you can email us at aramseyconsulting@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Our middle child, Jeremiah David, I've talked about him in various podcasts. I shared about him in our first podcast, Live List or Bucket List. And I really want to expound upon the journey with him in this season of parenting, because with Jeremiah and his condition, he was born with a birth defect, as I've shared before, and his diagnosis, agenesis of the corpus callosum, colpocephaly, epilepsy, autism, mild cerebral palsy, causes me to be very unique in how I parent him as a mother, how my husband parents him as a father. He's 19, he'll be 20 in July. And when I look at the journey with him, it is totally different than the journey with my other two children. When you give birth to a child, when you adopt a child, when you raise a child and they're a baby, you have all these appointments you take them to, your 6-week check, like 3-week checkup, 6-week checkup, you know, 3 months, 6 months. You do this on a regular basis. And every time you go to your doctor's appointment, they show you the milestones, the things that your child should be achieving at this point of life. When they go at 2 years old, these are the things that they should be doing. They should be starting to feed themselves. They should, you know, be starting to say this. They should be starting to walk. And concerns can come when you see these milestones and your child is not meeting these milestones. So we're talking about a mommy moment, and I've pretty much subtitled this Seasons of Parenting. And when you are in a season of parenting a baby, a toddler, you go to the doctor and they show you these milestones. It can become alarming when your child is not meeting those milestones. I've talked to various parents over the years where they will go to a doctor's appointment and their child is 3 or 4, and there is concern raised by the pediatrician because the child has not met certain milestones. And at that time, they want to start doing testing or they want to bring in other individuals to help find out why the child has not achieved this milestone. That can really put a burden or a weight on parents when their child is not reaching a milestone. In raising Jeremiah David, we were never reaching milestones. And I laugh because I can think back now to, wow, that was truly a difficult time for my husband and I. It was really a difficult time for me. I was the one doing the doctor's appointments because my husband was working, taking care of the family. He was doing his best to support me, to support our children. And I wanted to make sure that in addition to me working my job, that I was on top of all of the doctor's appointments. And boy, we had a lot of doctor's appointments. I had to prep myself mentally to not get discouraged when we would go to these different doctor's appointments to understand that his journey was different. Jeremiah was not reaching these milestones, not because he didn't want to, but because his brain was not functioning the way other children's brains function. And I had to accept that. My husband had to accept that. And we had to truly use our faith to be able to gather information, to sit through doctor's appointments without getting angry, without getting saddened, without getting discouraged, and put a plan in place, a structure in place to give Jeremiah the best life possible. So we're talking about seasons of parenting. And in each She Words podcast, we have different moments within the podcast. We have the monumental moment. We have embraced the exceptional. And for this moment, I'm going to focus on embrace the exceptional. You see how I did that segue? I was just talking about Jeremiah and having a child with exceptional needs. And for this moment in the podcast, I'm going to give some tips to parents, guardians, support people, advocates, case managers, people that may know of someone or you yourself may have a child with exceptional needs. I'm going to give you some tips as a former educator, as a parent, on what you need to do when it is time for your annual case review or annual case conference to construct your child's IEP, Individual Education Plan. Now, every child with a diagnosis has or should have an IEP, Individual Education Plan. With Jeremiah being born with this, you know, need for extra support, we started having an IEP very, very early in life. As he transitioned out of the early developmental preschool program, here in Indiana, it's called First Steps. And when you turn 3, you transition out of that program into your school district's program and into their developmental preschool. Every state is different. So what you have to do is find out how your state works. But as far as children are concerned, it is a state law, it is a federal law that children are to receive this support. It's under Article 7. I don't want to get into all of the technical parts of it because I want to make it very simplistic for you to be able to understand what you need to do in regards to your child's conference. So take notes, write this down, share it with someone. What are some suggestions that I can give you? I'm going to give you 10. 10 suggestions on what you need to do for yourself and for your child to make sure that your meeting is successful. 1, always take someone with you. So when you know your child, and it's every year, so every year when your child has this annual case review or annual case conference, doesn't matter how old they are, always take someone with you. You could have a doctorate degree, you could be a therapist, but you still need support. Always take someone with you. You can take an advocate with you, take a former therapist with you or a current therapist with you. I always took someone with me to the conference. You need to do so as well. Number two, let the child be a part of the meeting, especially if they're in middle school or high school. I know you may say, well, their comprehension level is not there, Alicia. They're very low in comprehending things. My Jeremiah is too. But we always had him there in the meeting because he is a person and he has rights and he deserves to be a part of the meeting while we are talking about his future. Make sure they are there with you. And if they need behavioral support during that meeting, the school can provide someone to sit with him, or the person that comes with you may help sit with them. But make sure you have your child in the meeting with you. Number three, never schedule the conference before work or right before you have something important to do. You don't want to rush. Your questions are important. The time for your child is important. Don't let them make you feel like it has to be at lunchtime. It has to be before school, because they'll do that. They'll want to do what's convenient for them, but you and your child are the most important. You do what is important for you. So number one, always take someone with you. Number two, let the child be a part of the meeting. Number three, never have the conference before work so you don't have to rush or at a time where you feel rushed. Number four, you are your child advocate and your voice matters. Don't ever make them feel like you're not intelligent enough, you don't understand. You are with your child pretty much 24/7. That's your child and you are their voice, especially if they're nonverbal like our child is. You be that voice. You speak your concerns. You speak how you feel about providing the best educational environment for your child. Number five, there's a difference between high expectations and realistic expectations. There's a difference. I remember when Jeremiah was transitioning into, what was it, sixth grade or seventh grade? I never kept up with the grades because it really didn't matter. For me, it was about him reaching his goals. And the teacher, this was his first year with his life skills teacher, and she put a goal of Jeremiah being able to write his name. I looked at that young lady and I said, he will never be able to write his name. I said, I will be writing his name for the rest of his life. I would like him to be able to recognize Jeremiah or recognize a J. And she wanted to go rounds with me, and I stood on my ground and I said, no, we are not going to spend time on that. He can't even hold a pencil. He can't even hold a fork yet. We need to make sure he can hold a fork. I'm not concerned about him holding a pencil. Make sure he can hold a fork and hold a spoon. I had expectations, but they were realistic expectations. You do the same for your child. Number six, research your child's diagnosis and learn as much as you can about it. Go online, Google it, talk to people. It is important for you to learn as much as you can. Do not wait for a doctor to tell you everything or a teacher to tell you everything. You learn. Number seven, find a support group. We all need support. My husband and I really needed support early on, and I found a support group online, National Disorders of the Corpus Callosum, and we went to their conference. Jeremiah was about five, and it really opened my eyes, and it helped me to meet other people with children with the same diagnosis, and it helped me to ask questions and to understand what the future held for me and what our possibilities were and what kind of therapies work and what kind may not work. I really am thankful that we did that early on. We all need support. Find a support group. And there are free support groups. There are support groups, you know, Facebook groups. There's groups online. And don't think your child's diagnosis is so unique that there's nothing out there. Because believe me, if you type it in there, you're going to find something that is available for you. Number eight, understand everyone's role in your child's life. So you may want to take grandma to the conference, but grandma may just be the nurturer and the caring. Grandma's not a therapist. And if grandma doesn't know how to sit and listen actively, you may not want to take grandma to the conference. Understand that if dad gets angry and he doesn't want to participate calmly, dad may not can be a part of that conference. I know that's hard sometimes, and you get frustrated that why can't he just be calm? Why can't she just be calm? They may not be at that point that you're in. So when you take someone to the conference with you, know their role in the child's life. So when you take them, how does their role fit in that meeting? Number nine, no question is dumb. There's never a dumb question. Write your questions down ahead of time. I always tell people this. Take all of your questions with you. I don't care if your questions take an hour. You ask every single question on your paper. And number 10, never sign that document at the conference. Never sign that final IEP. Take it home, read it, get another set of eyes to read it. You do not have to accept it if you're not comfortable with it. Keep reading it. Keep asking questions. You can reconvene and meet again. Then sign it when you are comfortable. They'll ask you to sign a sign-in sheet when you get there, but as far as signing off on the validation of the document at the end of the conference, do not do that until you've read it, reread it, have another set of eyes read it, and feel comfortable with it. So we are talking about our mommy moment and seasons in parenting. And during the Embrace the Exceptional moment, I gave you 10 tips on what to do if your child has an exceptional need for your individual education plan conference, annual case review, annual case conference. Make sure if you know someone that has a child with exceptional needs, you tag them or you share this with them or you tell them, hey, you really need to listen to what Alicia Ramsey was sharing on the She Words podcast to help you as you prepare to take your child further in their educational journey. Mommy moments. As we get ready to embrace Mother's Day, understand the importance of parenting and how valuable you are as a mother. Many of us pray to be a mother. We desire to be a mother. We marry someone with children, and now we are a stepmother, and we are trying to merge our families together. You're trying to merge yourself as the bonus mom. Keep trying. Don't give up. All things are possible. Walt Disney says this: most things are good and they are the strongest things, but there are evil things too, and you are not doing a child a favor by trying to shield them from reality. The important thing is to teach a child that good can always triumph over evil. There is evil in the world today. There are difficult things that your children are going to have to go through or experience. Death is real. Loss is real. Tragedy is real. It is about having a conversation and helping them to process what they see going on in the world around them. You can do that. You have the ability to do that, and I know that you will. Happy Mother's Day again. Thank you so much for being a part of the She Words family. I look forward to sharing more with you about motherhood, about marriage, and about mentorship. Thank you for joining me for today's She Words. If you enjoyed our time together, make sure you invite someone to tune in. Remember, God is love, and choose to let that love shine through you today. Have an amazing, make the most of this moment day.